Well, we are in the beginning series, the element of introduction as we're looking at the Word of God. That's quite a task. I mean, probably many of you are going, well, wait a minute, don't you always preach about the Word of God? Well, yes, that's what we base everything that we do here out of. But we have committed ourselves for the future to take a walk through the Bible, starting in Genesis and going all the way through. And that doesn't mean we're going to go through every single verse. But we are going to look at how the Bible impacts our lives and what are some things that we can continue to learn, even from those most familiar stories that we know. And so over the last few weeks, we've been going through a bit of an introduction. How the Bible was written, how it came to be, those 66 books that were written over a span of 1,500 years by over 40 different authors on three different continents in three different languages, and yet God in His sovereignty brought it all together to create a perfect, beautiful love story, His love for us. We've talked about how there have been attempts down through history to destroy the Bible, to actually get rid of it, all the way from that third century Roman emperor Diocletian, who said he was going to destroy every Bible that he could get his hands on. And you remember we said he even erected that statue, and on it he etched, "Death is the name of Christianity." And then, of course, the emperor that came after him, Constantine, who sent out a decree that said, if anybody's ever been able to save or to hold any Bibles and preserve them, I'd love to have them and to see them. And in 24 hours, he had 500 Bibles that had been brought out because people understood how important even then that it was. Even more recently, the Russian leaders we've talked about, Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, all of those who were devout atheists, and yet the power of the Holy Spirit still penetrated into that dark country. There are still pockets of Christians and of churches, and even today in China, where the Bible is banned, you have to smuggle Bibles into China, the Bible still gets through. The Word of God is that powerful. It is, as we said, inerrant, which means there are no errors in the Bible. It is infallible, meaning that everything that's presented to us is done in the absolute truth of God. And then to also know that the Bible, we said, was sufficient, which means that everything that we need for our lives and for our faith is contained within the Word of God. And then last week, we began to talk about the authority of God's Word, and how authority is probably the thing right now in our culture today that is under the greatest amount of attack. People are asking, well, okay, so how much of this do I really put into my life? And you know, even Christians are asking that today. Christians are beginning to struggle somewhat. Our faith is being impacted by the world around us, which is why we have got to stand firm on God's Word and to be unshaken by what the world says, because this is the authority. Christians just going, well, you know, I like this part, but I don't like that part. Or, you know, this is good, but, you know, people may make fun of me if I say I'm not going to do this or I'm going to do something else because that's what the Bible says. And so we looked at what God's Word is the authority over. And last week we said it's the authority over our minds, that we submit our reasoning, we submit our thinking to the Word of God. How many of you, when you say you read the Bible, you understand perfectly clear absolutely everything that it says? If you have that, if you raise your hand, I need to come sit with you and you need to teach me. You need to help me. Because obviously the Bible is not always easy to understand, but it wasn't intended to be. God did not intend this Word to be something that we would be able to just grasp and then set aside. It's a lifelong pursuit of desiring Him and to integrating His Word into our hearts more deeply every single day. It's also that struggle that we have between the flesh and the spirit. And so if we submit our minds to God's Word, we avail ourselves to everything that He wants to do in our lives. How many things have we missed in our lives because it just didn't make sense? You know, I just couldn't wrap my head around it. I wonder, you wonder today why miracles don't take place more often in churches or even perhaps in this country. There are countries around the world where miracles are happening on a fairly regular basis, and you want to know why that is? Because they are willing to accept that unreservedly. They're willing just to accept it. Yes, this is who God is. Oh, somebody was raised from the dead? Well, yeah, that's what we expect in God's power. But in this country, oh no, we're much more sophisticated than that. It has to align with the things of our minds and of our thinking, and it has to fit within this square little tiny infinitesimal box that is my mind. God is infinite. And when we're willing to submit our mind and submit our thinking, our beliefs to Him, He is able to pour into us more than we can possibly imagine. His authority is also over the church. The authority of the Word is over the church. See, we've gotten things a little bit twisted in the 21st century because there are a lot of folks that believe that Jesus came in order to serve the church. That's backwards. The church was created in order to serve Him, in order to talk about Him, to be able to share the blessing, share the love, share the mercy and the grace of Jesus, of why He did what He did. The first church, as you know, you can read about this in the second chapter of Acts. It's where the first church is formed. Jesus has returned to heaven. He told His disciples, boys, hang out here because something special is about to happen. He called them boys, I'm pretty sure. Boys, wait here. Because He knew. He said, I'm going to send a helper to you. And what happened? At the time of Pentecost, says the Holy Spirit came and it filled them with power. The church was created in order to serve our Lord. And today I think we get so caught up in how we do church and the things that we do that we forget that we are just simply here to glorify Him. But the authority of God's Word is over the church. And then in conjunction with that, the authority, this is just review, by the way, this is for free. The authority of God's Word is also over church leadership. The authority of God's Word is over church leaders. And there have probably been fewer, I should say that the other way around, there have been more times of people being hurt so deeply in a church because of a leader who removed himself or herself from the authority of God's Word. Do you know what a church leader is? He's a servant. That's what we are. We're servants. We serve first and foremost God, and then we serve you. You're not here to serve me. I'm here to serve you. That's why the analogy that Jesus used of the shepherd with the sheep is so important. That's why pastors are often called under-shepherds, because we are under the first shepherd. But that's our role in this. And anytime you have a leader that steps out from the authority of the Word of God and brings attention to themselves or has you following them, you've got somebody that's walking out of the will of God for what they're supposed to do. And that's why so many churches today, even big ones, even ones that we would think are really successful, are really not following the Word because they're following a man instead of following Jesus Christ. I got nothing wrong with big churches, but if you're a big church, you better be following Jesus Christ. You better be under the headship and the authority of the Word of God, because the enemy loves nothing more than to come and wipe out those things that everybody looks at and goes, ooh, aren't they wonderful? And they get knocked out because they take their eyes off of Jesus. And I'm pretty sure you can think of some in your mind right now. There's some very famous ones that took place, and my heart's heavy when those things happen because it damages the kingdom. And see, that's why as children of God, everywhere we go, we are called to preserve and to fight and to stand firm for the kingdom of God. We only can do that when we're under the authority of God's Word. So let me give you two more this morning. His authority is over our minds. It's over the church. It's over church leaders. Here's the fourth one. God's Word has authority over tradition. Over tradition. Now, you may be sitting there going, okay, that's weird. What do you mean tradition? Why? What's that got to do with anything here? Well, I think those of you that have grown up in church know that we get pretty set in the way that we do things, don't we? I mean, even down to the seats, okay? If Bill and Margie aren't in that back corner, I don't know, I'm shutting things down. Because if they're not sitting right there, I'm all messed up here. Let's face it, if you go into churches sometimes and you sit in a different seat than you normally do, there's going to be somebody walking by going, my seat. It's not just seats. We get so involved in programs. We get so involved in events taking place that many times teaching the Word of God becomes a secondary consideration. And see, God's Word needs to be over our church traditions, how we do things. I grew up in a very conservative Baptist church outside of Wilmington, Delaware. The pastor was a graduate of the Dallas Theological Seminary. They make Bob Jones look liberal. All right, that's Dallas is very, very conservative. But I'll tell you what, we had one way of doing things and one way only in that church. You could walk into the middle of the service if you went there for a long time, close your eyes, you knew exactly where you were, exactly what was going on. We did a hiss at the beginning, then we did this, we sang two hymns. When we got to the second hymn, we only sang the first, second, and fourth verses. The poor third verses of church hymns. How many of you, you know? You never sang the third verse. It's like they were never there. First, second, fourth verse. Always did things exactly the same way. And the bulletin was just this far below the authority of the Word of God in a church, the bulletin. That's how important that is. Now, I'm not making fun of those things. Bulletins are fine. But my concern is, just like when we don't yield our minds, if we don't yield the way that we do things, if our traditions become so important, we miss what it is that God wants to do. Because the Holy Spirit comes, and the Holy Spirit doesn't care what our agenda is. Some of the most powerful church services I've ever been a part of have been ones that we just had no idea what was going to happen next. Now, I don't mean people are running around like crazy, because the Bible does say there needs to be order. There needs to be order in the church. But I can remember once, this was a church years ago. It was a Wednesday evening and I was teaching. But we were going to do music first. We had an hour and a half for the service. Well, the music started and it just didn't stop. And 5 minutes before the end of the service, the guy went, okay, come on. And I'm going, can I do this in 5 minutes or not? Unfortunately, by the time I got up to the front, I realized what was going on. But it took a minute because even my own thinking, my own upbringing had me thinking, okay, man, you got 25 minutes. You need to be done in 25 minutes so I can do my 40 minutes and then God will be here. God doesn't care about our time. God doesn't care about our agenda. He wants us to do our very best. I believe that's why we do here at Remnant. We try to do our very best at everything that we do. We're not slaves to perfectionism, but I believe God deserves my very best effort. But in church, tradition has seemed to take the place of the Word of God. Now, you might be going, well, Pastor Dave, that's your opinion, right? No. Turn to Matthew 15. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 15. Again, let me encourage you to bring your Bibles when you go to church. See, because if you get used to bringing it on Sunday, you might get used to taking it with you during the week. Ooh. Let me tell you what Jesus had to say about traditions. This is Matthew 15, starting the first verse. It said, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. That's my Pharisee voice. Jesus replied, verse 3, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother. And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you may otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Jesus wasn't interested in church tradition. Because the Pharisees would take those traditions and they would take them and move them into positions in order to benefit themselves, in order to elevate themselves, in order to keep control over the people. And Jesus said, you're a hypocrite if you do that. The tradition is not more important than the Word of God. And this morning, church, I want to encourage you, be willing to look outside of the box of the way that you've always done things with God. Be willing to allow him to speak to your heart in a different way. Be willing to pray in a way that you've never prayed before. And again, it's okay to have different ways that you do things, ways that you're comfortable with, but never allow those things to take the place of what it is that the Holy Spirit may want to do in your life. Tradition is not more important than the Word of God. Here's the next one. The Word of God has authority over our feelings and over our experiences. Now, I'm going to go gentle on this one, because I may ruffle you a little bit, but that's okay. You know I love you. You're going, I don't like you anymore. That's okay. I don't care. That's all right. I love you. One of the most dangerous phrases I think that Christians can use today is to begin a sentence this way. I felt led to say something, do something. I felt led. Because you know what that does? It sort of removes the responsibility from the person for what they're about to do or they're about to say. It's almost as bad as when people say, God told me. And when someone says that, starts a sentence with that for me, already I'm backing up and I'm going, okay, what is this going to be here? God told me? Really? God told you? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak to us. I'm not saying that we don't feel led to do something, but my caution, church, is that we use that as a precursor to accomplish our own personal objectives with things. And see, my feelings can never be what dictates who God is in my life. My feelings don't dictate how true this word is. Your feelings are not always going to be accurate. They're not always going to be the truth of what something is. I have had my feelings hurt many times when that was not the intent of the person. They didn't want to hurt my feelings, but I took it that way. I chose to be hurt. Do you know when you get your feelings hurt, you have a choice whether you want to have your feelings hurt or not? Amen. Amen. I'm not saying this to make you uncomfortable, but if you walk around with your feelings hurt all the time, stop looking at the people around you and maybe say, God, what is it about me right now? I mean, because let's face it, in our world today, feelings dictate everything. If someone gets their feelings hurt today, we make new laws. We make new rules. If someone gets their feelings hurt, that feeling is supposed to dictate to me how it is that I'm supposed to live my life. What was that shirt I had? I had a shirt on the other day that said something. I forget what it was. And did this happen or did I just dream it? I probably should figure that out before I tell you. Maybe it wasn't even me. Maybe I was talking to someone else. There's such a heightened level of people getting their feelings hurt today, and the sensitivities of things are just off the charts. Church, we can't live that way in the church. We should be, and I hesitate to use this word, but I think it's the right one, we should be better than that. Not that we're better, but because of the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. That I'm going to have, can I say like this, a thicker skin with things. I'm going to choose not to allow things to get at me all the time. Why? Because when I do that, then the fruits of the Spirit are gone. I can't demonstrate love. I can't demonstrate kindness. I can't generate gentleness or meekness, long-suffering. To say, Father, your word has authority in my life over my feelings and over my experiences. And you know, the psalmist David writes about these things, because some of you might be going, well, you know, come on. You know, you say I don't have control over my feelings, or that's not such a big deal in my life. But listen what the psalmist writes. Chapter 47, verse 5, he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? He says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. The psalmist was dealing with a downcast heart, dealing with struggles. And then in the 77th chapter, the first three verses, he says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord at night. I stretched out my untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. But I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated, but my spirit grew faint. Church, if David, the one who was the beloved a man after God's own heart. If he struggled with those things, so too in our own lives. We're going to have those times. We're going to have those moments of struggle. There's going to be those times when we're crying out to God. Church, that's not where the problem is. The problem is when we stay in those moments, when we don't turn to God and ask Him to come and to bring revelation, to bring change, to bring healing to my heart, when we don't turn to His Word as a place of comfort. This book has authority over my feelings and over my emotions. Now, that's not, again, to say that emotions or feelings or experiences are not of value. They are. We're created that way. God created us as emotional people. And experiences in our lives are wonderful. They're very important. They help to make us who we are. God works in those times to help our faith to grow, to help us to be more reliant on Him. But I am committed to never allow those feelings that I have to be what dictates who I am. My feelings don't identify me. I'm a child of God. He is greater than any situation, any circumstance that I'm walking in. He is the one that will see me through those tough times. And when the storms are raging all around me, He is the anchor that I hold to. Church, do not be discouraged with what you're dealing with in your life. Don't be disheartened. God has a plan. He has seen this moment in your life before the foundations of the world were laid. He knew that you were going to be walking through whatever it is that you're walking in. And His grace, His mercy, His love, watch this, His Word are sufficient for us. But here's the key. You got to take your eyes off yourself. You got to quit singing the pity party. You know how much power there is in your words that you speak? If you get up every single morning and you talk about how lousy you feel, how tough the situation is, how much you don't like going to work, how much that guy that I got to work next to gets on my nerve the second I walk into the building, how do you think you're going to feel? How do you think that you're going to react? Instead, can I encourage you to change your thinking, submit yourself to the will of God, to His authority, and say, Father, thank You for another day of life. Thank You, God. Thank You that my eyes are open. Thank You that I can see, that I can hear, that I can walk, that I can move. Thank You, Father, that I have this relationship in my life. It's not perfect, but God, You're working in me and in that person. Thank You, God, for this job that You've given me that supplies my needs from You. May I be a light in that dark place. May I encourage them to step up to a place of not doing what they do instead of them pulling me down to where they are. You go, Pastor Dave, that's hard. Yeah, I know. It is hard. And that's why God gives us His Word. That's why every answer that we need is here. You want to know how to treat people? Read what Paul wrote to those early churches about how they're supposed to treat one another, how they're supposed to love one another. What kind of a way should you love people? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 13. There's a checklist for you right there. Love is patient. Love is kind. All of those things. Use those things. That's what God gave it to us for. But it's only going to be effective if you're willing to submit to the authority of His Word. You know, as we come to a place like this of recognizing how important the Bible is, my prayer is that it's going to encourage you to make it more a part of your life every day. As I've said, I know, and there were times in my life when I did the same thing, that I would find my Bible. There we go. Now I can go to church. Got it cleaned up. My Bible, they used to say that Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's wife, that her Bible, you could fold it like a magazine in like three different places because it was so worn. It was so used. That's what I want to get to with my Bible. I want this thing to become such an important part of my life that I'm not looking for my phone first when I'm about to leave. I'm looking for my Bible first. You say, Pastor Dave, come on. Is that not possible? Can we not do that? Is that something too far-fetched that the Word of God would become so important that I don't want to go anywhere without it? Turn again into Matthew. Stay in that same book and go back to the 7th chapter, and I'll start wrapping this up. The authority of God's Word in our lives. You know, it's the ego and the pride of man that we have elevated our minds. We've elevated our knowledge, our science, and our reasoning to places that sit even above the Word of God. What does the Bible call that kind of a person? It calls him a fool. And these are Jesus' words, Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Jesus is teaching. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Church, my question for you this morning, a very simple one: what's your foundation built on today? What is at the foundation of your life? What happens when the storms come? We are all going to have to walk through stormy times in our lives. The Bible does not promise us an easy walk as a Christian. What's that one song we've always said, the last line of it is, "Now I am happy all the day"? What's that song, Dave? Do you remember that one? It's an old chorus. Something about, and then the last line is, I've accepted God into my life and now I'm happy all the day. Well, no, I'm not. I often heard that song and wonder, well, what the heck's wrong with me? Now, aren't I a good Christian or what? And then I started reading the Word and I realized the Bible doesn't promise us that we're not going to have troubles or storms. The Bible says, and Paul writes this, he says, when difficulties come, not if, when they come. You say, "Gosh, Pastor Dave, I feel so much better now. Thank you." It isn't about that. What it is that we understand that when we have a firm foundation, the winds, the storm, the rain, they can come, but it does not change how I stand. I'm still firm. I get pushed around a little bit, maybe even knocked down, but I stand up because my foundation is firm. But Jesus said, if you're not under that authority, if you don't listen to these words of mine, he said, you're like a fool. Church, our lives, we spend so much of it seeking peace, security, happiness. People seem to think that all of those things are going to be found in the money and the possessions, even happiness itself. But as I've shared with you, the very word happy means that everything of how I feel is dictated by my happenings, the things outside of me. As a Christian, happiness is not what's most important to me. It's the joy of the Lord, because joy cannot be changed. And what else does the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is what? It's my strength. You feeling weary? Have some joy in your life. You feeling tired? Spend some time praising God and thanking Him for what He's done. To know that the book that He has given us, His love letter, is an authority over my life, that I'm not going through these things by myself, just making it up as I go along. I've got the Word of Almighty God to light a path to my feet. You know, we again say that the mind is the great element of how we live. And of course, scientists tell us that science is what governs everything of our lives. Several years ago, I did a fairly in-depth study about creationism and evolution, and talked about how evolutionists and those the proponent of the Big Bang theory, that the very tenets of science that they rest on contradict what it is that they're telling us is true. They can't even prove it themselves, and yet that's what's most important. There have been some recent archaeological discoveries that scientists have said have changed their conclusions about how man came to be. There's always things that are changing. Can I tell you something that doesn't change? That's the Word of God. This is the rock that we stand on. It has been the same yesterday, today, and forever, just as the love of God is for us. And I want to encourage you this morning to put away your fears, put away your concerns, put away your anxiety, so that those things cannot be a part of your life, because you are standing on the rock that never moves. you're standing on a firm foundation that even though these circumstances are very real, they're very difficult, sometimes very painful, my God never leaves me or forsakes me. He never gives me more than I'm able to handle because in Him I have a strength, I have an assurance, and I have a security that is not born out of me, but by His love for me. That's my prayer for you this morning. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, I